Hi everyone, welcome to episode 11 of the 5x5 podcast. This is Mina.
Hi, I'm Tanya.
Yeah, and it's just us today. Sorry,
yes,
everyone.
Yes, we have no friends over.
Yeah, it's just Mina and Tanya. Mina and Tanya today. We're trying out a new schedule and we're just catching up on some things that we'd like to talk about. But we're going to have guests again soon. Let's just work out some schedules with people. But yeah, so today we are talking about my stuff first, right, Tanya? Is that okay?
Yes, we are. Go
okay.
on.
Yeah, so,
to.
Yeah, so some geeky stuff that we wanted to talk about. Well, not necessarily geeky because, you know, it's a mainstream movie. Apparently, it premiered at number one this weekend.
Yeah.
So I watched 300 Rise of an Empire this weekend. Did you watch it, Tanya?
No, I did not. I apparently don't have a lot of time to watch movies in the theater now.
Okay.
So,
but it has a lot of abs.
Yes, it's fine.
Why not?
You know what? Busog na ako sa Arrow. So.
I know.
I get boy abs and girl abs, so you know, what more do
That's
I need?
True.
Pero
equal opportunity like abs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this sounds like fun though.
I didn't realize actually that this sequel was happening until I saw the trailers and then the opportunity came about to actually watch it. And of course, you know, abs
why not?
So I guess the biggest surprise I got while watching it is it's R16, so it's been rated by the local ratings board to be not fit for anyone 16 or younger than 16 but for some reason they still cut parts of the movie. So,
yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, go on. I think it's because they had to cut. If they didn't cut out those parts, they would have gotten an R rating, like R18. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it was obviously a decision to cut something rather than not be shown in the entire country at all. So what happens here is people go online to look for the scene. So does that really help? But anyway. Let me just continue to talk about the movie. So 300 Rise of the Empire is the sequel to the first movie with a lot of abs, 300, with Gerard Butler. And this is actually not so much a sequel. I thought it would be a sequel, like maybe the events after the movie, after the first 300. But
yeah.
a lot of this movie is actually happening at the same time as 300, so it's showing the same war but on different fronts.
Okay,
so
were they also fighting with 300 men? I don't understand.
No, there seem to be more men.
So not 300 then.
Well, I guess the Athenians, the Greeks here, we're rooting for the Greeks here against the Persians. The
okay.
Greeks here seem to, are still, I think there may be more than 300, but they seem to be playing off of the underdog vibe again. Persian army is obviously a lot more still depicted here, and it's actually a naval battle. So yeah, most of it happens on water with ships, crazy stuff happening in the water. And
how was the CGI?
You know what? It is a bit CGI-y. It feels like it. You're kind of aware that you're not really watching. You're aware that they're probably on a green screen in a stage somewhere, and they're not really on water. You're very aware of that, but I was okay with it because 300 is very comic booky.
Anyway, right.
Anyway, yeah. So even if they were on land, they were probably in a stage somewhere.
Yeah, it's
anyway,
like a saja.
So.
It's like saja.
Yeah.
Let's just make everything look CGI, even the abs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exactly. The ads get a bit distracting, yeah.
I'm curious though. How did they? Did they have cannons? How did they have the sea ship? Did they fight in water?
Yes, they fought in water. When you watch it, it seems like it makes sense, and then later you wonder if that can actually happen in such a like an unpredictable water environment, right? And then after a while, I told my husband Mike after, like, it feels like you're watching the Mighty Ducks in a way.
What? Why? So,
yeah. No, because
I'm
like
if
you've watched the Mighty Ducks before, you know that they're like a ragtag team.
Yes, of course. I love that movie.
Their opponents tend to be like really trained, have the skills, have a lot of money, professional players who have all of the equipment, and then they win these games by doing tricks. Playing tricks that prey on the weakness of someone who has a lot of equipment or something.
Uh-huh.
So it's similar. I'm sorry for reducing 300 Rise of an Emperor to the Mighty Ducks. But
Mighty Ducks is brilliant, okay? So do not apologize.
I know. Sorry. That's true.
It's a worthy comparison.
I do love the Mighty Ducks. So it actually feels like that in some parts because it's like, oh, they're going to pull this trick even with their small ships, and then they're gonna defeat the wonderful Persian army with their advanced equipment,
okay.
Or the Persian navy with their advanced equipment because they can't do certain things because they're too heavy or whatever. And stuff
yeah.
Like that.
So what were they fighting with? Did they have cannons?
They have there's like guys on boats with arrows.
Okay. So I didn't think there was gunpowder at the time.
They have an elaborate, the really big set piece at the end, near the end is like this big boat that actually has, I think, like oil. Like something that bursts into flame, and then they have people, slaves, throw fire at to set the thing on fire.
And of course, like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what happens, right? So you know what happens when the same vehicle that has the substance that catches fire also has the fire. Right?
Yes.
You know what happens, but anyway, no, that's a little bit of a spoiler, but I guess the cool thing is that the commanding officer for the enemies in this movie is Eva Green.
Yeah, I heard.
Okay. So she's she looks awesome. She looks great. The scene that was cut involved her being naked. So
they cut out her sex scene, like the entire thing.
Yes,
or this part?
Yes. It looks like they cut out most of the sex scene. Like they start making out, and then she's angry at him.
Nobody knows why.
Then nobody knows why. And then later, because you remember how 300 flashes, they show flashbacks to within the movie, to their own movie. So later, I think a flashback to the sex scene is also cut.
Okay. Then, no, because if something like that happens, aren't they worried that the people will be, their imaginations will be going wild? They'll be like, okay, why is she angry? Did he put it somewhere she didn't want him to, you know?
And then later, she remembers something and gets really angry, but she don't know what it is.
And I still don't know what it is. So. Oh, there's a comment on Twitter. Dandy Galvez wants us to mention the horse. What about the horse?
Oh, the horse? Well, there's a horse that goes boat jumping. I mean, I don't know if that's what I mean.
I did not see this.
Okay, it's a naval battle, and then you have guys like your enemy is on the other boat. How do you get to that boat? And one of them uses a horse.
Okay, do that.
to jump boats. It is kind of awesome, but it's one of those times when you totally remember that this is CGI.
and you are rolling your eyes, but in a fun way.
In a fun way, I know. And then, Kate Evangelista on Twitter. Hi, Kate. She says she's happy that there are stronger female roles in this one. That's true, because, I mean, Eva Green is really badass here. I mean, I just wish, though, that it didn't seem... Because obviously, even though you don't see it, she and the lead guy in this one. I'm forgetting his name. I'm so sorry. I'm forgetting his name.
Sorry, guys.
Get his name right, please. His name is Sullivan Stapleton. Okay.
Oh, it sounds so nice and proper. Like he's always dressed.
He always sounds like he's always dressed. And like in the first movie, he doesn't sound Greek at all.
Of course.
So you know, who knows what the accents were like back then? I guess, right? But Sullivan and Eva have a love scene, and I think though it seemed near the end that she became. Like a spurned lover.
Oh.
Which I thought was unnecessary. She would have been it didn't need to be about that, I think.
Yeah, so you're basically just like unnecessary drama.
It's unnecessary drama. And also like unnecessarily emotional of her when she's actually been through so many battles and killed so many people without really feeling anything about them.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she like kisses Hollywood. This guy because we only see them kiss, right?
Yes, I know. What is the attachment? Apparently they just kissed her and held hands or something.
They just kissed and stuff. And then she lets him go and then he goes back and she's so angry. We don't know why.
Yes, it's not like she's suffering from a lack of male companionship, duh.
I know.
She practices her harem at her fingertips.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of beheadings. There's a lot of people losing their heads and body parts, and like horses stomping on heads. No, those were uncut.
Okay, so kids, remember. Beheading people is fine, but getting naked is wrong.
We get to see all of that, so it's. I mean, in one, if you look at it that way, it is quite fun to watch.
Good.
But yeah, if you're into that, and then later you start thinking about it, and then you kind of wish certain things were done differently. But and then if you're a fan of the Mighty Ducks, you remember the Mighty Ducks. So it feels
maybe they were fans of the Mighty Ducks.
maybe. So you know, I think that's it. If you're a fan of the Mighty Ducks, this is for you.
Yeah, okay. You need to put that on Twitter.
Yes.
Okay. Alright. By the way, everyone, if you have questions, just tweet it and use the hashtag 5x5podcast. And we will answer them or comment on them. And so what's up next? You're doing something this weekend, right?
Yes, I am. It's a little unexpected, but so on our very first episode here on 5x5 Podcast, we had author Kate Evangelista. Remember Kate, everyone?
Oh, yeah, of course, Kate.
Yeah. Yay, Kate. She is having a book launch for her latest book called Till Death, and it's going to be in National Bookstore Glorieta. On Saturday, 4 p.m. And I'm hosting.
Oh, yay. I wish I could go. Maybe I can still go. I'm not really sure. Because the thing that I'm supposed to do this weekend, I don't have the details yet. So,
just show up and let's troll the Q&A.
What are you talking about? I have serious questions.
You have okay, fine.
I will have serious questions.
We will not at all ask Kate about her opinions on abs. And
those are the serious questions.
And
I
arrow and yeah.
Those are the serious questions I was talking about.
Yeah, so it's really fun. I think it's the Kate has several books out, but I think this is the first one. Till Death is the first one that's going to be in a local bookstore, in National Bookstore.
Really?
So, yes, yes. I think, if I'm not mistaken. So this is really like special, not just for readers of Kate, but for Kate as well. This is like a debut of sorts. In her own country, right? Yeah. So I'm really happy to be part of it. And if you have any questions, if you're listening now and you have any questions that you'd like Kate to answer, just send them over. Tweet me at Mina Villasguerra or tag, use the hashtag 5x5podcast. And maybe we can sneak it into the Q&A for Kate. Ask her serious questions, the hard hitting questions.
Yes, hard hitting questions. Like, okay. So I hope I can still catch it. So you know, guys, if you have time, which national bookstore is this gonna be?
The one in the flagship store in Glorieta One.
Oh, Glorieta One, so cool.
Yes.
Yay, so looking forward to that. I hope we see you there this weekend. As if I'm going, I will try to go.
Yeah. It starts at 4 PM and she will be signing books. If you have Kate Evangelista books, bring them. If you have Kate Evangelista ebooks in your Kindle, which some of us do, let's figure out what to do with that. She'll sign your, I don't know what she'll sign, but but yes, let's show support for our Filipino authors who are making their mark abroad.
I know, right? What time is it gonna be?
It starts at 4 o'clock.
Okay, plenty of time. It's like perfect. You know, Saturday afternoon. Yeah. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Just and maybe you'll talk about it. You know, the next in our next episode.
Yes, yes. We'll talk about it on our next episode.
Okay, great.
So everyone, I would just like to mention that we're podcasting live now at a different time.
We're usually
on at 7:30. Now we're on at 3:30, and it's because of me. It's my fault.
No, it's not. We know whose fault it is.
Yeah. Well, it's someone else's fault, not necessarily mine. What's happening here is we're trying to find a convenient schedule for everyone, for me and Tanya, and also guests that we're gonna have over. But the great thing is, we're streaming live on YouTube, but we're also on YouTube Archive forever. So
yes.
we can still listen together to the 5x5 podcast Thursdays at 7:30 if you like. But hopefully you can catch us when we're live, but we're trying to find a good schedule for everyone. So it's probably we're gonna figure this out. So thank you for listening, those who are listening right now. And you can still listen at 7:30 later. But yeah, of course, the tweet party is not as fun. The Twitter party is not
I know.
Fun.
That's the thing about, you know, joining, listening to it live, because you can join the Twitter party. Or that's even true. If you're not listening to it, you can just pretend and just tweet. I don't know.
Kate on Twitter just commented, I've been crying like a lunatic every time I see Till Death on the shelves. She did mention that it is a dream come true for her, and I know a lot of writers feel the same way. Like going into a bookstore and seeing your book on the shelf, like at the bookstore in your neighborhood. I think that's what makes it seem real.
So wait a minute, and even none of you ever thought of just taking your book, going to the national bookstore,
and putting it in there. I don't know. It seems like a simple thing.
It's so weird. Like people get caught for shoplifting. It's gonna be like, what I do? Like, she put a book in the shelf.
No, it's reverse shoplifting. But I think that's another reason to go on Saturday. Let's go watch Kate cry.
If it's not enough motivation for you to, you know, like check out the launch, you have a chance to see Kate cry. So go.
Yes, like show her the shelf and then make her cry. Everyone, let's do that. So that's my geeky stuff this week. How about you, Tanya?
This week, I have a question. How far are you into True Detective?
third episode. I just watched the third episode yesterday.
Yay! I'm so glad you did. When did you start watching it?
I just started this, I think 2 days ago.
Okay.
I just started. No. Yes. True Detective.
No, here's the thing. Okay, so for everybody, for those of you who are not aware of it, I'm not sure what the schedule, I think the Philippine schedule for True Detective, the HBO show, is like a week behind,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
That's not so bad, yeah.
So, but in the U.S., the finale for season one was aired last Sunday. So,
okay.
So yeah, it just aired last Sunday, and the one in the Philippines, I think, if I'm not mistaken, again, will be aired this Sunday. So, anyway, the internet is full of spoilers, so we had to get creative so we could watch the final episode. Cause I didn't want to get spoiled. This is really your fault. So, anyway, True Detective is a TV show. It's 9 episodes, season 1, and it's some kind of, it's a crime drama, noir, it's very dark, it's set in New Orleans, and Mina, how are you with the dialogue?
You know, so our friend Dandy sent me a scoop of True Detective by Joel McHale in The Soup, and it's true, I cannot understand them. I think I'm there. I think I'm with them, watching it.
Yes.
But you know what? I can't tell you what I wouldn't be able to tell you what they talked about. I wouldn't be able to tell you what happened.
You know what? By the fifth episode, you will get the hang of it. I think
that's true. I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on because I felt that way with a bunch of series, like The British Office. It's the kind of thing that when you start, you kind of don't get the slang. You don't realize the idioms are different. Even the way they speak is different. And then you get the hang of it. Like usually British shows, you have to hang on and then you get used to it. So I feel that way right now.
Yeah,
so,
it's not just the accent, right? I mean,
it's not even that. Yeah.
It's really the expressions. And I remember there's like sometimes I have to like pause and try to. Oh, you're right. That's what he's saying. Like there was this time they were talking about this building and it's like, you know, Andrew blew it out last year. And I was like, who the hell is Andrew? I don't remember an Andrew. And he meant Hurricane Andrew, which is something that would, you know, if an American were watching. It's no problem. They would know what they were. But I'm not, you know, I'm not from there. So and it took me a while to realize it was talking about the hurricane. So it's basically stuff like that.
Okay.
It helps. It, probably the wiki helps. Like what you use, Mina.
Yeah. Oh yes. What I do is I watch an episode, and then afterwards I look at the Wikipedia
for that episode.
For that episode, I don't read ahead. I just look at what happened in the episode just to confirm if I understood it right.
I know. And so there. And Woody Harrelson. No, okay. The stars are Woody Harrelson and Michael McConaughey.
Matthew
McConaughey has yeah, they both have the accent of the area, right? Louisiana. Mm-hmm. The thing is, Woody Harrelson has an extra like speech impediment thing. He does, right? Like the way he talks, doesn't matter what accent he uses.
Uh-huh.
So it's harder for me to understand Woody Harrelson. So, you know, but it's fine, you know, they're both actually pretty good in this show, and it's very dark. And are you creeped out yet, Nina? Because like, some parts
out.
Are like super creepy. Yeah,
it actually reminds me of that's why I'm still watching even though I can barely understand what's happening.
Does it remind you of Mighty Ducks, does it?
No, it doesn't. It reminds me though. Okay, it reminds me of several things. It reminds me of, I guess, Matthew McConaughey when he started, which was A Time to Kill, right?
Yeah, so, which is also set in the South, right?
Yes, set in the South. So he has that look, although he's much older now. It's enough to make you forget, like, the many years in between that he was playing all these weird, like, romantic comedy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it kind of brings you back.
How many has he done? You know, people keep saying that he had this period where he did all these rom-coms, and I'm like, I don't remember. I think I just blocked them out.
Yeah, because you didn't watch them.
Yeah, probably. I did see the one with Kate Hudson. Well, like part of it. They showed it on TV.
Yeah, he had the movie with Jennifer Lopez then, with Jennifer Garner. I mean, a bunch of like romantic comedies.
Yeah, I did not see
his thing.
Any of that. Oh.
It became his thing for a while. But this one reminds me of, like, again, the first time I ever saw him was in A Time to Kill, playing, the young young lawyer from the South. So it's kind of that, it's that vibe again, but and then the show itself, it's a leisurely show. It's not like, they kind of just do things, right?
Yeah.
Things just happen. They talk. They're in a car.
and after a while, I know it gets confusing. Like personally, like I admit, I'm not following exactly the whole investigation thing. It's just I just know enough to follow the story more or less. The ending made sense to me, but it was really mostly watching the two. It's also about basically the relationship between these two cops.
That's true. That's true. It's like more of a showcase, I guess, of the actors and the characters created. And then you have the two timelines. Mm-hmm. That are shown. So that's a device.
Flashback.
There's a present day, or at least a more recent day.
Yeah,
Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they look different from the timeline of the actual investigation.
Yeah, they got like so, guts. You know, the like they had to put like padding in the stomachs. So like they had beer bellies. They're like, oh, that's okay.
And one of them has less hair, and the other has more hair. So, I mean, you'll be able to keep track. You'll be able to keep track of the differences. Oh, Nandy on Twitter says, True Detective will have a different cast every season, which will be interesting. Okay, and now this is why... this is the source of that Twitter meme with the different True Detective suggested cast.
Yes. Right? That's why.
It's really exciting, yeah.
The funniest one I've seen so far, because guys, if you're aware of this meme, basically since the last few episodes of the show, people have been like tweeting photos, like suggestions of who's gonna be in the next the season two of True Detective. So the funniest one so far was Reality Bites. It was a screenshot from Reality Bites. It was Winona Ryder and Janine Garofalo in a car.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is perfect, right? Because they have so many scenes in the car.
Awesome. Okay, I am totally behind that. Yeah.
No, that would be like the best thing ever. So get on that, people.
Yes, they will need to run so many seasons to get everyone's requests.
I know. So.
For True Detective.
Ash and Francis, yay! Historical True Detective.
Historical True Detective. Right, because, when you flashback in a serious way.
Yes, I know, right?
Yeah, flashback several centuries. Yeah.
So, yes. And
so I'm in the middle of it, so no spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers, everyone. But I'm sorry, I apologize in advance, but I just have fun talking about this, even though I'm not actually spoiling anybody. But I did see a interview of Matthew McConaughey on YouTube.
Okay.
They were asking him about the show, and it was so cute because when they. Because they were like, they started asking a question, but they forgot to mention what they were referring to. Referring to True Detective. So, and he was like, oh, you mean True Detective? And then, and said yes. And then his eyes just like lit up. And it's like, it's good, right?
Oh.
His whole face lit up. It's good, right? And everybody like applauded and woo, and clap. And he was like, yeah, and apparently he has been watching it with the rest of us. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they give him like advanced copies, but he said, you know, he'll just watch it on HBO. So, you know, I think at the time they just aired episode 5 or something. so right, and it's like it's apparently different. I mean, he's in the show, but when he has to actually watch it to know what's going on. So
he's not sure what's happening either.
Yeah, I mean, considering there are like so many flashbacks, right? And
that's true.
Yeah, it's like it's probably hard to follow. And anyway, it's just awesome. You should watch it. And I'm usually not, I don't usually watch like shows that are like melodramatic or something. I usually look for something that has like humor in it. But this one, even though it's dark and it's serious and so like a drama, it does have some humor. My favorite joke is this is non-spoilery, but this is something in I think episode 8 or 9. It's a what is scented meat, and you will know.
What?
Yeah, see, sorry? It's like it's so random. What is scented meat? And
oh,
I just thought that was just like so hilarious. And anyway, it's not spoilery, but and you will come across that in a future episode. So yes, just watch it. It's so perfect and awesome. And no, it's nothing, you know, like really deep or anything, you know. It's like, but it's just like a super fun show.
Yes,
fun, like with murders.
Yes,
yeah,
murders.
Warning though,
creepy
yeah.
people.
Yes, creepy people.
Some nudity.
Yes, a lot of nudity. Well, not a lot.
Yeah. But
I don't know how much they show here though. In the.
They probably cut out like the actual breast exposure. I think because it's Asia, right? I mean, it has to be safe for the region.
I know, yeah, I know sex, they cut out a lot of sex in the, of parts of Sex in the City. Cut out a lot of parts.
Uh-huh. Game of Thrones, I'm sure.
So yeah, yeah. So they cut out some parts for, so I'm assuming they do the same for, I mean, we do have HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Except that I just hate the parts, cause I just hate watching it there because they cut out parts. And I am against cutting parts.
That's true. I mean, if you're mature enough to handle it, you should be able to. Yeah.
Oh, and everybody, like, you know, watch for kids. If you don't want them seeing them, don't make them watch it.
Yes.
It's your TV.
You know, tell them to get out of the room. Yeah. Let the adults watch actual. But that's a different topic altogether, I think, if we were to rant about what's proper for kids
yes.
and adults to see. But yes, I mean, True Detective, I'm in the middle of it. I'm not quitting on it. I'm quitting on Star-Crossed, though.
Wait, how far into Star-Crossed?
Sorry.
Star-Crossed is a new TV show, right?
So Star-Crossed is... No, I'm doing this thing now where I jump into the middle. And
So you didn't see the beginning.
I didn't see the pilot. I saw the I saw the fourth episode.
Oh,
the problem, I think, because the problem with pilots, right, is sometimes it's the worst episode
ever
of the series, the pilot, because everyone's unsure of themselves and everyone's so new. So I kind of want to see a show when they've hit their stride, because if they haven't gotten better, any better, then maybe they're not worth tuning into. So Star-Crossed, I went into the fourth episode. It seems like Roswell meets District 9.
Oh, okay.
To me. Yeah,
that sounds awesome. Is it awesome?
It's supposed to be, I think. But I mean, there's some bad acting going on, so they're trying to make up for it. They're trying to make up for it with abs and arms, biceps. but sadly,
still no.
Sadly, there's a lot of awkward. Well, not so bad, but awkward acting. So maybe I'll jump into it again later if it gets any better.
Here's the thing with me. When I like watch a TV show TV shows, right? Now, if the acting is like really horrible, like one or two of the main characters are played by actors who are doing a really bad job. Mm-hmm. For me, it's sort of a reflection for like the entire production.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that like the most important thing?
I know.
If you can't cast, if you can't get a good, if you can't get the main actors to do their jobs right, or hire the actors that will do the job right, I mean, what does it say about, you know, the writing and the, it probably also sucks, because, you know, you can't pay attention
yeah.
to the
no, important. But I can see why, I mean, I look at the entire cast, and I know why they've been cast in those roles, and it's a certain look, they're trying to recreate magic. the lead actress looks a certain way, the lead actor looks a certain way. So
that's so sad.
I know. And
actors
then,
actors being cast for their looks, that's just, like, literally, because they look
like,
a certain way.
Yeah. And then you have people who are familiar because they've been in minor roles. They've had minor roles in other shows.
Mm-hmm.
But then they get a little bit more screen time here, and you realize that they're not that good.
do they at least look interesting? I mean, these actors that were cast for their looks, do they at least look interesting?
Yeah. Well, I just saw one episode, so I hope it gets better. But
reason why you know the did you watch it, the reboot of 90210?
Oh, I did, like, the first few episodes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I saw the pilot of that. Now, this is just, basically, I'm just trying to explain the thing about, you know, how the actors look, right? This is the thing I noticed. The reason why I did 90210, like, I did get past the pilot, because the entire cast, all the actors, they kind of all look the same. Did you notice that?
That's
even
true.
The girl who was supposed to be, I think she was like supposed to be African American or something, she looked like everybody, like they all looked the same. It didn't matter their ethnicity. I'm like, what is wrong? You know, it's like, I mean, if you're going to cast actors for their look, at least get actors that look interesting and, you know, that sort of actors that sort of complement each other. Don't get an entire cast that they all look the same. That's why I couldn't follow the story because I got so confused. I'm like, wait, is this the one that no, wait, I'm
no.
sorry, I'm like, confused.
That's true.
So this is not a racist thing, right? Like all white people look the same.
Well,
I've been watching TV shows since forever, and
I forgot they
look.
Well, in the case of Star-Cross, it's not necessarily that they all look the same, but it's more of like, I mean, it reminds me enough of Roswell, as it is. So
maybe that's what they were going for.
So even that, like, it's like the certain characters that already resemble characters in Roswell, even the actors sort of,
mm-hmm.
are the same type of actor, the same look as the Roswell counterpart. So it's it's a little but that's because, diba, I'm older. Who remembers Roswell?
People listening are going to be like, what the hell is Roswell?
What is Roswell?
Look it up.
The best thing
it's probably
ever.
On YouTube or something. Oh, and by the way, so you saw the fourth episode, right? I saw the pilot. Like I lasted like 5 minutes into the two or 5 minutes into the pilot. Mostly because it was when they just crash landed, the aliens crash landed. And their outfits, it looks like they were designed by the 80s, by bad 80s science fiction movies.
Oh no.
It's like so, yun pala, I'm like, okay, no.
Not even
and
the
then,
good 80s movies.
No, it's like, it's so, I mean, really, they look human and they're wearing these. Please, like, you know, like we are aliens and we're wearing these outfits. Oh boy. And then and then suddenly, like, the soldiers come and they start shooting at them. I'm like, what? Why would they do that? I mean, wouldn't they want to capture you to, I don't know, dissect you or something? Why would they suddenly start? It doesn't make sense. I think they just wanted a scenario where some of the aliens get killed. And. So, you know, there's angst. So there is reason for angst. And I'm like, okay, so, no. So, yeah, I tuned out.
And then it feels like, I guess it's, and that's where the District 9 mashup comes in, where they've actually been, like, put into a district, right? They even call it a district, I think.
Okay.
they can't leave. All of the aliens have been put in one area, and I guess the story starts when a few of them have been allowed to mainstream into a high school, a public high school, and chaos ensues. Yeah, okay. So that's how it starts. But I think, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, try to look up Roswell. It'll seem really quaint.
It sounds like Alienation. This is even more quaint.
Yeah.
Most of you are probably not even alive in this game. I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Alienation.
Yes,
remember
that's
that?
True. Alienation, but if you want the feels, like the whole star-crossed, exactly, like the whole Romeo and Juliet, they can't fall in love. Because they're different race, species. Sorry, not even races, but species.
One of the weird codes.
Yeah, I mean, try to look up Roswell. It's going to seem really quaint by now, but they had really awesome music.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's going to be, you know, just do a marathon of Roswell. You'll see young Katherine Heigl. You'll see a bunch of people that you no longer see on TV, but the music is awesome, and it's the same thing. It's for me, it's the same thing.
I don't really actually mind if people, like, you know, do something that's, you know, already been done, because, you know, there are very few really original stories out there. It's just, you know, make it fun. Make it fun to watch.
It should be fun on its own.
Give us something new to look forward to, and give your own twist or whatever. So I think they really they wasted the whole premise of the star-crossed thing, because it would have been something I might watch if only they done it right. I don't know.
Yeah. And then sometimes it takes just one person who can really, like, I mean, we watch crappy shows because of actors who are really good.
Yes.
Yeah. Or sometimes they don't look good at all, but the writing's great. But you know, it's
a thing. Give us something.
Yeah,
right?
Give us something to hang on to.
Exactly.
So far, they're relying on abs and biceps, but we already have that.
Yes, I know. And plus, you know, Arrow. With the abs and the biceps. Plus,
there are shows that give us that. Yeah, funny action scenes, stuff like that. So, you know, give us something interesting. Yes. People.
And hire good actors.
Yes.
If there's one thing I will ask producers or directors, or just hire good actors. Come on, please. So there, that's, I think I've griped enough.
Yeah, we have. So I think that's it for what we have on our agenda today. Thank you everyone for listening, and for the people who will be catching this on YouTube, please send us your comments, even if you catch this at a later time.
Yes, we still read them.
Your reactions. We still read them, just include hashtag 5x5 podcast, and we're planning our topics for the next few weeks, and also lining up our guests. If you have any suggestions for us, we'd love to read them.
Yay! So catch you guys next week. We will
thanks,
announce
Tanya.
The time. Thanks, Mina. I'm gonna go see if
we
I
will,
can.
Yeah,
I can
we
catch
will.
Up
we will find
now.
Out. Yes, don't go watch it.
Or do we just wait for the DVD? Because it's probably no cut.
That's true.
In that.
So you
know.
Can see. So you can see the scene that we're all wondering about.
Did you see it in 3D? Or any
yes,
special?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's fun. I mean, might as well see it in 3D if you're gonna see it. It's the kind of movie that's gimmicky that way, but in a fun way.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, great. So, okay. Again, if you want to catch up on past episodes, just check out the website, 5x5podcast.com. Check the hashtag on Twitter, 5x5podcast, and catch us next week. We will announce the date and time.
Yes.
Thanks, Nina.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Tanya.
Bye.